640 be our song of invitation, and I hope that you'll follow along very carefully with the lesson we're going to talk about this evening. It's a lesson that talks about the pathways of life, and we're going to see that the road that we're traveling on takes us somewhere, and we understand that the Bible teaches us many times to look and see what path that we're taking in this life. We must realize that the Bible is a way that leads to salvation or death. And we're going to look at two sides of this. I was kind of inspired this week by traveling the road so much and to see some of the great sights and to go down the destination. You never know where a road will take you, especially if you get lost and you get off the beaten path and you find yourself in unfamiliar territory. And so I have to confess, at one time we got on a wrong road, and that was, it did take a little bit of our time to get back on the right road to get here. But we're glad that we're here and glad to begin a relationship with you as helping do what the Bible teaches us, building up the cause of Christ here at, the Bible tells us, the New Testament church here at West Boonville. Well, look at our lesson text. Our lesson text is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Here the Bible says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." And that's telling us to check what direction our life is going. To look and ponder. The word ponder tells us to think about, to consider the way in which our feet are taking us. We think about, you might say, in just really plain terms, check which way your feet are taking you. And so we need to think about that. Solomon reminds us to let all of our ways be established. In other words, we need to understand which way our life is going, which way we're traveling on. And many times, people sometimes will say, well, what direction is your life headed? And sometimes young people don't know where their life is taking. Maybe sometimes they're undecided, not knowing, wondering aimlessly where to go in life. And that's something that we have to be sure about. We've got to know where life is taking us, especially the spiritual life that we're following. You know, it's one thing not to know in life, the secular world, but it's even more important, though, to know where God is taking us. Next slide, please. I want to look and think about some of the things the Bible says about paths and pathways. You know, you can really do a good study, just look up all these different verses and think about the roads that life takes us on. The Bible refers to a highway, which even though a fool would not err on that right highway that God's prepared for His people. There is the idea of walking. That God tells us that we're to walk in a certain direction, not walk with those who are following the wrong way. And then there is following. You know, sometimes people think about where they're following, who they're following. And we need to be careful who we follow in life. And so God wants us to follow Him and not someone who doesn't know the way. And then there is followers of the way or that way, as the Bible, New Testament church, was referred to many times as followers of that particular way. It's referring to the followers of Christ. And so that just gives us an idea of what we're going to talk about this evening. Primarily, we're going to talk about the path that people who are righteous are following. Next slide, please. We think about how paths are choices we make in life. They are crossroads at times. You can either go one way or the other. And they are decision times, especially when you are young people. You need to think about what direction you want to take your life. What choice, because the choices you make will either choose your destiny for either good or bad. And there are times when we have to make a crossroads and decide which way we're going to go. Like Joshua 24 talks about when Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." But then there was also a crossroads in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Here the Bible tells them, says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the waste." Jeremiah wanted them to make a decision. Who and where would they travel in this life? Who would they follow? It says, "Where is the good way? And walk therein." It says, "See and ask for the old paths." There's the old paths. Now, this is the difference between what they were traveling on at the current time. They were following ways that were new ways. They had begun a road of apostasy away from God. And Jeremiah tries to wake them up and let them know that what they're doing is going the wrong direction. He says they need to look for the old paths, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Sometimes people just simply don't go the way they should go in life. They're headed in the wrong direction. And they know it. Here Jeremiah tells them, you're going the wrong way. And yet they still persisted and went the wrong way against what God was trying to lead them into. Next slide, please. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, here Jesus speaks about the two different roads. All of us are on one road or the other this evening. And all over the world, people all over the world are on either one of these two roads. In Matthew 7, verse 13, the Bible says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, notice he says many, many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, it is sad to really think about the fact that few people really are on the straight, the narrow road that God has for us to follow. And I think about friends and loved ones and neighbors and those I've known in my past, and think about how that I know they're not true children of God. They may go to a church, they may profess some belief, but yet they're not on the straight and narrow road that Jesus talks about here. They many times are following the wrong way, the broad road that leads to destruction. We think about only two main paths, but many characteristics. That's what we're going to talk about this evening. First of all, simply the straight and narrow road, the path of the righteous. And then we find that's in Psalm 23, verse 3. There's a reference here to the way that God leads us. You know, the 23rd Psalm is a great psalm. It reminds us that God needs to be the one that gives us all the protection, all the care. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and He does all kinds of things for us. And in verse 3, He says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know what He's saying is, I'm leading you the right way. There's a wrong way and a right way to live this life, and God tells us through His Word the right way to follow Him. And the way that is narrow, Matthew 7, verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In Matthew 7, verse 14, Jesus talks about this narrow road. You know, this is something that's different from the broad road that leads to destruction, because that broad road is easy to find. It's easy to follow that road because you don't have to constrict yourself. You don't have to restrain yourself from anything. But we find here the narrow way is one that you have to go a particular path, a straight path. And that shows us that we need to restrain ourselves from not just living any kind of life that we want to live. Next. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus says it's restricted. We can only go to the Father and be pleasing to God by going through Jesus. In other words, we need to follow Jesus. Jesus is that way, the truth, and the life that we must follow in order to have eternal life. The people who are not following Jesus will not see the Father and eternal life. And so it's not something we can simply say, well, I'm just following any path. I don't know what path I'm going. We need to follow a particular path, a narrow path that Jesus says. And even when it comes to Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 5, here the Bible speaks about one. There's a oneness of that narrow way. You know, the Bible says there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. And that talks about the church. You know, many times people don't want to hear the fact that there aren't so many churches a man can be a part of, or a person can just follow any road and it get to heaven. Be a part of any particular congregation and go to heaven. Jesus said, or actually Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. You know, there's only one hope, one place we really strive to get, and that is to go to heaven one day. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That baptism is important. Brother Ward talked about that this morning, about the importance of baptism and how that's something that we absolutely must not confuse ourselves thinking that baptism is unnecessary, because it is necessary. The Bible teaches us that it is so. Next chart, please. The way that is difficult. You know, there are signposts. You know, sometimes I failed to mention this, but there are sometimes markers that help us to know that we're going the right way. And one way that we know we're going the right way, when that way is difficult, when it's not the easy way to go. Matthew 13, 20 to 21, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower and how that sower went forth to sow the seed, which was the Word of God. Luke 8, 11 tells us. And that Word of God did things in people's hearts. It converted them to God and the truth. And here the Bible says, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, or not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. Notice that's because of the word of God, because they're following the word of God. By and by, he is offended. There's times people say it's too hard to be a child of God. It's too hard to be a Christian. But here he's talking about just following the Word of God. You know, sometimes people think, and rightfully so, that it is a hard life to be a child of God. And it is. But it is worth all the sacrifice. It's worth all the difficult path that we have to follow in order to have eternal life. Next chart, please. Proverbs 29, verse 27 tells us something interesting. It tells us in the Old Testament that an unjust man is an abomination to the just. And he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. What he's saying is these two are at odds with one another. The unjust man, he's an abomination to the person who's trying to live right because of what he's doing. He's living an unjust life. And those two lives are not compatible. But he says also here that he that is upright in the way, notice that, somebody who's striving to live right, he's upright in the way, is abomination to the wicked person. Notice that. How many times have you seen someone who simply does not want to follow God and they hate talking about church? And they are really, you might say, not friends of you because of your faith. Well, this is what he's talking about here. Because we choose to live a godly life, people will make it difficult for us. People who don't follow God will try to get in the way, will try to tempt you, will try to belittle you and say unkind things to you, and that make your life difficult. And that is true because the Bible tells us that it's that way. Next slide, please. The path of obedience is something you can tell when you're on the right way, that you're obeying God. You're obeying what God's Word says. In Psalms 119, verse 33, down to verse 35. Did you know that the Bible tells us here that we need to have a high respect for keeping God's commandments? You know, the religious world today says it doesn't matter if you keep God's Word or not. But here the psalmist tells us, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And that's the proper attitude even today. We're to have that same type of attitude because David was a man after God's own heart. And I believe he wrote this. He tells us things that we need to learn and have the same proper attitude. Verse 35, he says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. That's something you and I need to delight in. And we know we're on the right road and we're following God's rules. But sometimes people want to argue and say, I don't want to follow rules and commandments. That's boring. That's too restrictive to some. But it's the way of life. God is molding us, shaping us through His commandments. And that's the way we need to follow the path. You can tell you're on the right path when God is leading you the way. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, the Bible says, it shall come to pass in the last days. And he's talking about the time that you and I live in today. Isaiah's prophesying of the coming kingdom here in Isaiah 2. He says, it come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Truly, we've seen that time. All nations have been a part of God's kingdom now. And verse 3 tells us, "And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law." That's how we know the way. That's how we know the paths. We see that, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." We see that ever since the time of the day of Pentecost was that time the word of the Lord came from Jerusalem. You can tell you're on the right path when you're following the word of the Lord, the commandments of God. Next slide, please. "Is the way of wisdom and right." That's another mile marker, you might say, that you know you're on the right way. It's when you're following the way that is wise for us to follow. It's the way that's right for us to follow. In Proverbs 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths." And what he's saying is, God's Word has wisdom for us to understand. God's Word has wisdom for us to believe and trust and obey and follow that wisdom. You know what really wisdom is? It's knowledge that's applied and you have experience because you have applied that knowledge. You know, we understand knowledge is needed. Knowledge is something we might know the truth, but truly wisdom is when we do the truth. We follow that truth. And there is wisdom in age and those who are experienced, like Brother Ward and others who are the elders here. Through age comes wisdom and understanding, and we need that wisdom and understanding. He says, "I have led thee in right paths." All that saying, you need to go the right way. Where is the good way for us to follow? Next slide, please. Another way you can tell is you're on the right road, the path of the righteous, is when the path is lighted by God's Word. In Psalms 119, verse 105, David says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And that teaches a lot about how God's Word is like a person that's in the dark. If without a light, we would stumble in the dark. You know why it is that the runways when airplanes come to land is lighted? And when they're trying to land a plane at dark? Because they have to see. You know, we still have to see to be able to land a plane at dark. And so we understand why there's lights there. But God's Word is a light. How many of us have went down a dark path without a flashlight? How many of us know what it's like to stumble and fall and trip because of there was something there we didn't see that we could have seen if there was light there? Well, that's what God's saying. You don't have to stumble when there's light in the way. And even Solomon said in Proverbs 6:23, he says it just a little bit different way, but he says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." Next slide. In Proverbs 4, verse 18, the Bible says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Now, I love that expression. Let me tell you why. Because I believe the longer you're on that lighted path, the brighter it gets. I believe that's the picture there that the Bible says in Proverbs 4:18. When you're following God's Word, and I believe it's true, that with more age, we should be filled with the Spirit. We should be filled with God's Word, in other words. God's Word, which we already understand, is "Thy Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path." God's Word is that light. We understand that when we know, like David, hide that Word of God in our heart, it leads us the right direction every time. John 8 and verse 12, Jesus makes it plainer. He says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." There's no need to stumble anymore, because Jesus tells us, if we follow Him, we'll not have to worry about that, because He will show us the way. But then also, next slide, the way of mercy and truth. In Psalms 25 and verse 10. Did you know that you can tell you're on the right path when people show mercy rather than being unmerciful? When people are there because of the truth, and the truth is foremost and paramount to what we're doing. You know, truth is the most important thing. Because without truth, we would not know what God wants and expects of us. But in Psalms 25, verse 10, here the Bible says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His commandments and His testimonies." And that teaches us again. God teaches us how to be a kind and merciful people, a loving people. And that's what we need in this world. We need to obey the truth. You know, mercy and truth go hand in hand. Because of the fact that Christ died on the cross, there's the mercy. And Jesus said He was the truth. We can follow the truth the way the Bible teaches us to follow. Next slide. But it is also the path of humility. If we're going to serve God, we've got to learn that we cannot think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. In Micah 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy." There's the idea again of mercy again. "And to walk humbly with thy God." You know, that's something that tells us that we walk humbly with God. It's a humble walk. It's not a proud and arrogant walk. But something we do because we love God. And we know the world many times shows arrogance and pride, but those are sinful things. The people of God learn what it means to be a humble people as God's Word directs us. Then also the path that we see, another slide please, is the path of worship. We've got that. Psalms 122, verse 1. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord." What happens at the house of the Lord? Well, well, same thing what happens in God's house tonight is worship. We don't worship the same way as the Old Testament people did. We worship in the New Testament way. But the same is true. We need to have that same gladness, the same desire to be here that David had. Because David was one who loved to worship God. He said it's better to be in the house of the Lord one day than 1,000 anywhere else. You know what that says to me? Worship means something. Just like one of the articles says, why do we worship God? Is it important to worship God? We need that. God is to be praised by us. And that's something we do because we love Him. Let's look at another verse. Psalms 100, verse 4. It says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." That's the idea of a joyful heart. "And into His courts with praise." Why are we praising God so much? Because He's been so merciful to us. He's been so loving to us. "Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." Did you know the Israelites had a lot to be thankful for? But even so more, we of the New Testament way, God's kingdom today, have the blood of Christ. Something the Old Testament did not have. They did not have the forgiveness of sins like you and I have. But we have a better covenant, as the book of Hebrews tells us. And so we have more to be thankful for when we come to worship. Next verse. In Psalms 5, verse 7, here he says, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." They had a physical temple back then to worship to. They could look at that and see the material things, the building and such. You and I know we come into a house, this building's not the church. The church is the people. But we still have the same attitude. We'll come in fear. The book of Hebrews 12 tells us that we'll worship God in reverence and fear before God. In Psalms 95, verse 6, "Oh, come, let's worship and bow down. Let's kneel before the Lord, our Maker." There's the attitude of submission, of bowing before God. And all that's really part of what we do. When we pray to God, we worship, we have an attitude. You know, we don't physically bow our knees today. That's not traditionally what we do. But our hearts need to bow before God in our worship before Him. And that's, we can tell we're on the right path when worship means just like it did back then, even today. Next verse, next slide, please. I'm sorry. The way of life, and this is the last point of the lesson. The way of life is in Proverbs 12, verse 28. He says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in the path thereof there is no death." You can tell you're on the right path when you're following what's right. And God says, There's no death in that. I know this is not on the slide, but in John 11, Jesus spoke to Mary and Martha about how Lazarus, even though he was dead, he said, if a person who believes in me shall never die. He said, believest thou this? Jesus was that resurrection. Jesus was that one that will raise all of us who are faithful to God one day. And we will see that one day. We'll know when that takes place because God is the one who takes care of His people. Let's look at the next verse. The last verse of the lesson is this, and the lesson is yours. In John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus speaks about His sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's talking about the path that they're on. These sheep are following Jesus. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Did you know that's talking about the fact that if you're doing what God says, you're following Him, that you're safe then. And I'm saying you can't choose and go another direction. If you stop following Jesus, absolutely you will not see heaven. But here Jesus says, if you continue, and we have to qualify that because so many times people will say that you cannot lose your salvation because of this verse. But what we have to do is realize that we need to stay on the right path. Stay on the path that leads to eternal life. Because Jesus says that we'll never perish. Now, either man shall pluck these people who are sheep or following Him out of His hand. But you know what we can do, though? We can take that as a promise and assurance of God that if you're on the right path and you stay on that right path, heaven can be your home. Do you believe that tonight? If you do, if you've already joined on that path, you've already embarked on the journey of life down the pathway, walking with God, as we've talked about this evening, why don't you realize that's what God wants you to do? But there are some maybe in this audience tonight who have not started on that pathway and the need to follow God. They need to get on the right path so that they can be saved, because what Jesus says not is true of their lives. Because Jesus said about His sheep that follow Him. And the only way we can follow Him is we do what He says. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that? That's how you follow Christ. Is by believing in Him, repenting of your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And He also tells us that we must confess the Son of God in order to have salvation. And the Bible tells us if we deny Christ, He'll deny us. If we confess Him, He'll confess us before the Father and before His angels. Romans 10, verse 10 tells us, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then baptism for the very remission of our sins. That's the reason why we want to go through that new birth, so that we can follow Christ and He lead us to eternal life. If you're here this evening and you want to respond to the gospel call, why not tonight obey the gospel as together we stand and we sing the song of invitation?